The best oil mines in the country are trying to stop the spill in the Gulf. Good morning. It's The Takeaway. Engineers, politicians, regulators, scientists, even soldiers, all searching their souls for an answer to the problem that lies a mile below the surface. And while they work, ministers and priests call on their congregations to search their souls as well, to see the oil spill as a falling away from God and an opportunity to find the answers from a higher power. Louisiana state senators designated yesterday as a day of prayer. Meanwhile, a Christian group launched an oil fast where they are not driving cars or they're eating only local foods as a reflection on their personal dependence on oil. And also a group of evangelicals walked through the Mississippi Delta over the weekend on a journey of prayer to help heal the Gulf. We're joined again by Reverend Mitchell Hescox. He's the president and CEO of the Evangelical Environmental Network. He was part of the prayer walk. And Reverend Jody Hannah Cran of the United Methodist Church in Southwest Alabama joins us as well. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Reverend, let's return to what you saw and heard as you were on your prayer walk. Now, your group, the Evangelical Environmental Network, has long been trying to make environmentalism part of the evangelical movement, right?
Right, only we don't call it environmentalism. We call it creation care because we care for the place that our God created. We've been doing this since 1993.
So for you, this is a chance for your group to put out sort of a clarion call to Christians in the Gulf to see this as a chance to reevaluate what stewardship means.
I really think that's our third purpose in this issue. The first purpose that we really did is want to go to pray with the people being impacted. We have a slogan at EEN called We Care About Creation because we care about people. So the initial and primary purpose of the prayer walk was just to be with people, to let them know that the church cared, and we were there to help them, to pray, to involve God in this disaster.
And Reverend Jody Hannah Cran of the Methodist Church in Alabama, for your congregation, is this a crisis of conscience for many people?
I think perhaps, yes, I think perhaps so. Quite a lot of realization about consumption.
Mm-hmm. And what are you doing with your congregants?
Well, since we are 2 miles from the Gulf, everyone is impacted. So we have done a sermon series. We're in the midst of it now called Fear Not, because there's tremendous anxiety. People may lose their businesses. Many of our retired people are involved in Sea Turtle Watch and the environment, so there's been much anxiety, much pain around this. Therefore, we've done a sermon series. Like I said, Fear Not. We've agreed to pray at noon in a way that we agree in prayer, and we're offering comfort stations several times a week. And those are small groups that come together, use a piece of scripture, and then we have conversation as people of faith about what we're feeling, what we're learning.
Mitchell Hescox, I wanted to ask you, during President Obama's address from the Oval Office, he had a number of things to say in which he mentioned God, and one was which he talked about the blessing of the fleet. And here's what he said.
The ceremony goes on in good times and in bad. It took place after Katrina, and it took place a few weeks ago. And still, they came and they prayed. For as a priest and former fisherman once said of the tradition, the blessing is not that God has promised to remove all obstacles and dangers. The blessing is that He is with us always, a blessing that's granted even in the midst of the storm.
Reverend Hescox, is it reassuring to you to hear politicians also evoking God when they speak about this crisis?
Oh, I hope so. I'm a person of faith and a person of prayer, and I'm glad when our president and any politician brings God into the situation, because it is God who is our final and ultimate hope, not our own resources, not our own ingenuity, but the hope that we have from our Lord and Savior.
Reverend Cran, you know, they pray to strike oil down there in the Gulf. They pray to have a good harvest. They pray for prosperity down there. I mean, it's a part of the whole culture of the Gulf. How do you pray for balance? I mean, you don't pray that they don't strike oil anymore, right?
I think we always pray for God's best, for what is best for all. For example, last Thursday evening in our community, the Ministerial Association had all the local churches gather down at the beach and pray. I think folks are really learning to pray yet again beyond themselves.
But Reverend Hescox, I mean, what are the concrete steps? I mean, praying your group sees as an action that could have good results. But are there concrete steps that you're asking people to take in their lives?
Absolutely. I mean, we're actually, you know, you mentioned it. We've had a call, and we truly have a call for people to become better stewards of all God's given us, to even the simple things in life. Right now, to conserve energy and oil by, you know, making sure that the tire pressure is up, limiting their driving, become good stewards in all that we do. And we also believe that now is a time to look for the next generation or the current generation of American leadership to rally this country around a clean energy future. I mean, I pray that we will use this wake-up call. Romans 8 says that God uses all things for good for those who love God, in a slight paraphrase. And I truly believe that now is the time for us to use this devastation to rally this nation together, to have the will to follow God to a new way of living, to a new generation.
But Reverend Cran, I mean, very often it's times of crisis that bring people into the church. And when times get better, people forget about that relationship that they had with their higher power. They don't pray nearly as much. They don't go to church nearly as much. Is this could it be this is a temporary crisis of faith?
I suppose it could, just like, you know, in the same way we saw this after 9/11. However, I also believe that God can use that, and our doors are open, and I believe God's arms are open, and should it draw more in, wonderful.
But, I mean, are there specific actions that you're also asking your congregants to take?
Absolutely. We're asking our people to be not only responsive and mindful of their own stewardship, but to be aware of others in the community who may not be people of faith, who do not have the hope that we hold in Jesus Christ, that God is with us, and that God will, in fact, allow us to be resilient and recover.
Okay, that sounds like using the crisis to bring people into the Christian church.
Absolutely.
Reverend Jody Hanna-Cran of United Methodist Church and Reverend Mitchell Hescox, President and CEO of the Evangelical Environmental Network. Certainly the Christian Church is not the only organizations of faith that are praying and getting movements together during the Gulf oil crisis. If you are looking for hope in the Gulf, give us your story at 8778-MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org with your spiritual story about what message or what action you're taking in light of the Gulf oil spill.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.